This is a life-changing message from New Light Christian Center Church in Houston, Texas. And now, let's join Dr. I.B. Hilliard.
This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I am a believer, not a doubter. I am a doer, not just a hearer. And my life is the better after having heard the word of faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. All right, I forgot to do this. I just want to thank all of y'all for coming out here on Saturday morning. Give yourselves a hand. Beaumont Austin, give yourselves a hand. All right. Verse 3 says, "Moreover, because I set my affection to the house of my God, I have on mine own proper good of gold and silver, which I've given to the house of my God, over and above all that I prepared for the holy house." And so we've been teaching on this for quite some time, a power of affectionate giving. This would be the sixth lesson on it. And we said that we should be affectionate about the things of God. Colossians 3:23 tells us that whatever we do, do it all of our might. And so we've used this passage as an example of an affectionate gift. We also looked at the principle in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 9 of a first fruit offering. And the Bible says there, if you offer that first fruit offering unto the Lord, then our barns will be filled with plenty and our presses will burst forth with new wine. I like to call it explosive prosperity happens when you offer a first fruit offering. Explosive prosperity. Everybody say explosive prosperity. Now, when I talk about explosive prosperity, you got to understand it's more than just money. See, it's more than just money, because some folk don't need money. Their greatest need in their lives today ain't money. Greatest need in your life today may be, you know, your child coming out of a place of captivity. You understand? Greatest need may be your marriage coming together. So everybody's need is not money. Amen? But we do know that when we give, that a grace for living is released. That when we give, a grace for living. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. A grace for living is released when we give. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6, 7, and 8, this is why we get excited about giving, because he promises us more than a money return. A money return is good if that's what you need, but it's more than money. Everybody say more than money. All right. He said, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according to his purpose in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." Now, verse 8 is the powerful verse. "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things," underlined in all things. See, so I get the grace for what I'm needing. For the area of the things that I need, I get the grace. That it doesn't just, money doesn't just come to me, and thank God for the financial return on it, but it's more than money. It's more than money. That the grace that I need comes on me. That he's able to make all grace abound toward me, so that I have all sufficiency and all things may abound to every good work. So he puts me in a position now, emotionally, spiritually, financially, he puts me in a position where I can make a greater impact into the kingdom of God. Amen? Amen. So it's more than money. Amen. Amen. Now, so when we talk about being cheerful about giving, we have a right to be cheerful givers. We have a right to be cheerful givers as David was. And we said that David was cheerful because of his perspective on prosperity. He was cheerful because of his passion for his posterity. And that is, he wanted Solomon to do well. Then thirdly, he was cheerful about his giving because he understood the possibilities of provisions. And finally, he was excited because of the potential of people. And that is, something happens supernaturally for us when we give in faith and we release our faith with our giving. Release our faith with our giving. Now, we're talking about the possibilities. Tomorrow is going to make possible a whole lot of things that's going to benefit the kingdom of God long term. Amen. See, it is my desire to see every location filled every Sunday. Enough centers in the whole city got it, in all of our cities, in Beaumont, in Austin, in Houston, to fill all of our locations for all of our services. But as I share with the torchbearers today, there must be a passion about it. We cannot be satisfied just because I'm saved, just because my needs are met, just because all is well with me. No, 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 you have to have a passion about it so you can work with the Holy Spirit to bring it to pass. Amen. So it's very, very, very important now that we understand that the resources that we have, the resources that God's going to send to us on tomorrow, are going to be used so that we can further the kingdom of God. We're not going to stockpile it up and just put it in the bank and look and say, oh, look how much money we got. We's doing real good. No, 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 no. That's not what we're going to do. We're going to spend it all. Amen. Amen. Going to spend it all. How much are we going to spend of it? Going to spend it all. Because we're raising it to spend. Amen. We intend to make the children's ministry and youth ministry and our church in all locations the talk of the town. Amen. It's the bait that we're getting ready to use to reach folk who don't think, you know, that they need to come, but they want their children to come. How many of you have ever been to Disneyland? How many have been to Disneyland? Huh? Okay, I'm mean. How many ever been when you got? How many ever gone when you didn't want to go because your children wanted to go? I did. Something about how our children make us do things that we didn't want to do. Amen. So I'm going after the children. I'm going after the teens. And we're going to create an atmosphere that is going to be magnetic. But in order to do that, it's going to cost some money. I tell you, get a good look at the place you're in now, at the children's ministry that you're in now, because you won't be looking at it long. Amen. In all locations. Glory be to God. It's incredible what you can do when you got the money to do it with. Amen. So then we understand now that turn to Genesis chapter 12, because many believers don't understand the importance of their responsibility of a blessing, the responsibilities of a blessing. In Genesis chapter 12, God talks to Abraham, and when he speaks to Abraham, he tells him about blessing him, but he tells him he's blessed to be a blessing. All right, there in verse 1. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great. Watch this now. And thou shalt what? Be a blessing. And thou shalt what? Be a blessing. Thou shalt what? Be a blessing. Now, many churches are guilty of this, as well as many people individually are guilty of this. They want Abraham's blessing, but they don't want Abraham's agenda. See, the agenda was blessed to be a blessing. Not just blessed to be blessed, but blessed to be a blessing. And when God knows that you'll be a blessing and not just be blessed, then he will flood your life with blessings. Amen. Did everybody get that? Because I want to, yeah, Abraham's blessing was going to cause him to be abundantly blessed. He was to have riches, but what went along with the promise was an agenda, and thou shalt be a blessing. I'm going to bless nations through you. Amen. And when God sees that you'll be a blessing, then you just can't imagine the unlimited supply that he will allow you to tap into. Amen. Can't have Abraham's blessing without Abraham's agenda. Amen, amen. That's good enough to come to church with me. All right. Now, we're going to prepare our hearts to sow. And I got a letter that Dr. Bridget, you read my letter? Yeah, because, see, when I understand how much it blesses others when I give, then it can eliminate a whole lot of things that, you know, I think that kind of keep people from wanting to give. Amen. Let's not forget that the real enemy we have is the devil. Amen. And you got to understand, he doesn't like us inspiring folk like we're going to inspire them tomorrow. Amen. He doesn't like that at all. Can't stop it though, because we have authority over him. So, you know, I shared something on last week here in Houston that blessed our church. You've got a clip of it. But I also want to share a little bit of it in review today. And here's why. Dr. Bridget, you ready to read?
Yes. Good afternoon,
Doctor. I got me a reader today. Church of God in Christ.
Good afternoon, Dr. Hilliard. I simply wanted to share my testimony with you. I weep when I think of how incredibly good God is to me and how much He consistently demonstrates His love for my life, especially when I act on the principles of faith. My pledge this year was in the amount of $500. From a natural perspective, it is a mustard seed offering, but because I only recently accepted a permanent position December 30th, 2004, after over 3 years of contracting without a steady income and just getting to the place where I can, with much thanksgiving, give my tithes and offerings consistently, an extra $500 required truly stepping out on supernatural faith for me. I was one of the few that wanted to quietly contribute what, if any, I would have to offer. On my drive home after services on yesterday and still having no idea where my extra contribution would come from, but simply longing to have it, I determined that I must step out on faith and simply demonstrate my belief that the resources would come. Working in human resources for weeks, I have engaged in my company's performance reviews and preparations for annual awards and bonuses distributed based on both company and individual performances. Seeing amounts in the excess of several million dollars and all the while thinking to myself, okay, there is no review evaluation for me based on last year. After all, I was only employed one day in 2004 with the company. No bonus now, but be patient. Next year will be your turn. This morning, my boss stepped into my office and placed in my hand the attached contribution statement. He said, "You have done such an excellent job, your work is outstanding, and we just had to figure something in it for you too. And just know that next year it will be so much better for you." The award was in the amount of $560. There was also a salary increase. My eyes filled with tears and my spirit immediately felt God's presence and His love for me. No one but He and I knew what I needed. Thank you, Father. With thanksgiving and praise, I give the best of my gifts to the Lord.
Amen. Isn't that incredible? Now, here's the point, you see. You know, everybody will receive that kind of a little attack from the devil of why you need to stand up and say what you got to say. Well, I taught us on last time, and I just say it for the benefit of people in Austin and Beaumont, that public giving is a part of what Scripture teaches. David's gift in 1 Chronicles was a public gift. Ananias and Sapphira's gift and the New Testament giving, they gave publicly. So you don't want to let the devil try to attack you by making you think you're out of God's will by making a public declaration. And I told them, I said this on last time, I'll say it again, that when I make a public gift, I testify openly of God's goodness to me. See, when I give it, I'm making a testimony. I'm saying this is what the Lord has done for me. Number two, I traumatize the devil. I traumatize him because what he wants to do is to cause you to be embarrassed about your seed. He wants to keep you from announcing your seed. He wants to keep you quiet about what God is doing in your life. And see, when I open up and I testify of my giving, I'm saying, "Hey, look, I'm following the word, devil." Every time I give my seed, I'm reminding the devil that the first time I gave one, he sat right there on my shoulder and told me, "You'll never have it. Look what you did. You just gave this away." Da, 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 da. And I had to bind and loose and cast down and that sort of thing. And now when I stand again, I'm going, "Ha, ha, 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 look at here. Here I go again." Told me it wasn't going to work. Told me it wasn't going to be blessed, but I am. And here's another one in your face. Number three, when I give openly, I also teach others teach others by their observing an attitude of giving that lasts a lifetime. And that is, we're going to make an impact on our kids tomorrow, our children tomorrow. That's why we want them to be here. And I know they come, some of them are going to be fidgety and moving around. That's okay. Amen. Some of them you might want to bring up to the mic with you, you know, and let them stand there with you when you give it. We're making an impact in their lives that it's okay to give to the kingdom of God. It's okay to be open and bold with what you do for God. And then finally, when I give openly, I talk of the commitment, my commitment to God in indisputable terms. Now, I want you to go with me your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. It is important to understand money talks. Everybody say money talks. Yes, it does. It does talk. It does, yeah. But the scripture says it does too. Verse 1 says, now concerning the collection, underline that word collection, because that word comes from a Greek word, logiai, which has to do with speech, words. And after, and I was talking with Pastor Reed, so I give him his plug on this, you know, after all of chapter 15, talking about Jesus and talking about his death, then he says, okay, now concerning the collection. In other words, now that did Jesus, we understand why he died, and now that we understand what his death means, now are you ready to say something? But he's saying you have to say something with your money. Amen. Turn to 2 Corinthians, back to 2 Corinthians, I should have told you to put your ribbon there, 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. It's for those who like to study, you know, Greek and all that sort of thing. All right. There in verse 6 it says, but this I say, he would sow it sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he would sow it bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Underline the word bountifully. That comes from the Greek word eulogiai, which means, which we get our root word eulogy from. And we at a funeral, a eulogy is spoken by somebody who knows something about the one who died. So the Bible talks, it says, my offering speaks of what I know about the one who died. Glory to God. And so if the one who died has done something for me, amen. If the one who died has made an impact in my life, and I'm at the funeral and they say, hey, will you give the eulogy? I'm excited about giving the eulogy. Amen. I eulogized my father and my mother. I knew something about them. It was never a second thought for me to do so because I knew something about them. And so the Bible says when I'm giving my offering is a testament of what I know. Amen. All right, so nobody's going to be embarrassed tomorrow. Nobody's going to be coerced to do it tomorrow. We're going to all celebrate with each other. Amen. We're going to follow the order and the process. Amen. We're going to have an order and a process. Amen. When the level of giving we call is asked for, then we want you to come at that level. Amen. We'll give everybody an opportunity. All right. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now, the important thing is what happens after tomorrow. And that's the important thing. We know we'll have a supernatural supply in the kingdom. But what really is important to me, my excitement is like David's excitement about the potential of the people. What's getting ready to happen in your life? Amen. And if you give me about 5 more minutes, I'm going to be through, let you go and go shopping and or whatever you got to do, eat the cake and whatever you got to do. But if you give me about 5, maybe 10 more minutes, then I'm going to be through. Yes. All right. Go to Galatians chapter 3, because I have to on purpose release my faith. I have to on purpose make a demand for the grace that I need. Woo, hallelujah. All right, verse 14. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. All the promises of God are received how? Through faith. So I have to on faith release my promise. I have to on purpose release my faith for the promise of God. All right, slow down, Ira. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. We all know this, but let's see if the Spirit of God will breathe afresh on it. All right, are you there? Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things what? So faith is the substance of. But what is the substance in faith? Faith is the substance of things, but what's the substance of faith? What's in faith that makes faith the substance of something? Y'all ready? All right. Number one is what I like to call believable goals. Believable goals. What am I really believing God to do? Because faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Mark 11 says that, Mark 11 verses 22-24, and there it talks about whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, shall not die in his heart, shall believe those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Everything is pointing to something specific. So is what I'm believing in the word of God, and am I specifically locked in on it? All right? Now you got to understand now, my giving brings more to me than just money in return. Okay, all right, let's give another example. We gave the precept there in 2 Corinthians. Now, an example is, one day the disciples and some people in the town came to Jesus because of a centurion's servant was sick. And they said to Jesus, would you heal his servant? And they said, now here's why we think you ought to do this, even though you're not sent to Gentiles. He said, look, we think you ought to do it because he built us a synagogue. You know, Jesus, on the basis of his giving to build us a synagogue, will you release some healing? Okay. All right. All right. Cornelius, I'm just talking about more being released than just money. Some of your greatest need is not money. Some of your greatest need is a breakthrough in some other areas. And if you limit your seed tomorrow with just bringing you some money, you cutting yourself short. The Bible says in Acts chapter 10 concerning Cornelius. Let's go there quickly so you can see that, Acts chapter 10. So, verse 31. His breakthrough came because God remembered his money. Glory to God. Ooh, yes it is. Yes, it is. All right, watch this. Verse 31. Verse 30. Acts 10:30. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour. And at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing. Angel came and said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. God said, I heard your prayer and I saw your offering. I heard your prayer, I saw your seed. I heard your prayer, I saw your seed. Amen. Glory be to God. So I have a right to expect something to happen other than me getting some change back, some money back. But whatever my breakthrough is, that has to be a believable goal. And a goal is something I measure. In other words, when this happened, I know it happened. Number two, second substance, is a bullish desire. Bullish desire. That's a strong, passionate desire. I could say burning desire. Burning in your heart. Desire that this is the thing I want so bad I can taste it. This is not some passing thing, but this thing means so much to me that I've drawn the line in the sand. This is what I want God to do for me. Amen. A burning desire, not some passing desire. Well, if I get it, okay. If I don't, oh, you don't, forget that. Go on and go to something else. But the burning desire is that desire that says, come hell or high water, God, this is what you promised. God, this is what I expect.
devil, you're not going to stop me. I am not going to get off of this. That's what it's burning. Amen. Burning desire. Burning desire is something that you can't hold. You're just always talking about it. It's a burning desire. Glory to God. You sitting in a burning desire. Burning desires don't give up when it comes to it, when tough times come. Burning desires just hold on to it. That's why I'm saying you're a bullish desire. How many got some burning desires? Burning desire. Something I'm serious about. Something I ain't dying till it come to pass. Amen, amen. Burning desire. Amen. I got a burning desire to see lines outside of this church. Folk trying to get in. Burning desire that I get the call from Pastor Reed saying, Pastor, they everywhere. We got traffic jams. Next week we need more policemen to organize the traffic. Burning desire. I get the call from Austin and say, we don't have room. We got to go to another service. Burning desire. Folk walk the aisles giving their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. Burning desire. Amen. I just got a burning desire. Hallelujah. Third substance is a beautiful vision. Everybody say beautiful vision. That is, I see it with crystal clarity on the canvas of my imagination. So real, I can reach out and touch it. So real. Turn to Genesis chapter 15. When the thing on the inside of you becomes so real that you can picture it, I don't care what it is. Is it health? I don't care what it is. You can see it. Your senses are so fired up about it that you feel like it's happening. Almost taste it. Don't be looking at me like that. How many had some dreams and your dream was so real you could taste it? I mean, in the dream, you was eating something, it was so good, come on. So don't act like you can't taste something by seeing it on the canvas of your imagination. You weren't laying in your bed eating nothing, but you was tasting it as though it was so. That because that thing got so real to you. Hey, amen. Hey, amen. I got some dreams and it's so real. I can hear. I can hear kids playing at Love City. I smell the popcorn. That's the dude. I see it. I hear them. I hear them playing. I see them getting off the buses, coming from all over the country. They're excited to get in. Got to hold them back, hold them back, hold them back. But take care of them children. I'm telling you, you got to spend some time in prayer, because it's in prayer that the Holy Spirit, if you just give him time, and it's in your prayer time, if you just pull still away to get quiet enough in your prayer time, if you'll just cut off the television and sit there and let him paint a detailed picture of the end result. Because that's his specialty. The scripture says that when the Holy Spirit comes, he gives visions and dreams. That is one way that he incubates the promise of God on your heart, by planting it on the canvas of your imagination. You see it. Whew. All right. Genesis chapter 15. Anybody getting blessed? Am I the only one happy? I won't just preach myself happy. All right, watch this. Verse 5. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said, so shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Abraham rose to a whole nother level when he could see it. When he could see it, he rose to a whole nother level. When he could see it, and then final substance is a bold confession. When you got that goal that you can believe in, when you got that bullish desire burning on your heart, and you can see it, and it's so real, it is then creative power is released when you speak it. Amen. The Bible says, in the beginning, God saw darkness, but he didn't speak darkness, he spoke light. In life, there is a creative word, God speaks it, comes to pass. There's a covenant word, when you take the creative word and write it down. And then there's a confessed word, when you take the creative word that holds the creative power of God in suspense, and you write it down, and you take it, and you speak it. Faith-filled words release the creative power of God in your situation. Amen, amen. So what I've got to understand is that when it becomes so real, my senses are excited about it, and when that goal is believable and it is specific and it is burning on the inside of me, then with bold confidence, I speak to it. This is how you move a mountain. Are you listening to me? I speak boldly to it, and it must obey me. Amen. Amen. So my seed is remembered by God. So I don't mind giving, because he always remembers. Now, example, and then we close, and we're going to practice this ourselves. Bible says, come boldly. What says Hebrews 4:16, I think. Go down. Hebrews 4:16. Yeah. Let us come boldly to the throne. Amen. Yeah, that's what it wants. Hebrews 4:16. It says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help. When? Amplified says this way, says this way, that we may receive mercy for our failures and find grace to help in good time for every need, appropriate help and well-timed help coming just when we need it. So I understand that when I make a faith demand based on the substances of faith, then faith becomes the substance of what I hope for. Amen. And then standing in this atmosphere of faith, I speak and things must come to pass. Stand to your feet. There in Austin Beaumont, you stand to your feet. Let's get that believable goal on the inside of our hearts. Amen. Let's watch God do some supernatural things. That believable goal on the inside. Amen. You got it? You know what you're specifically what you're believing for? Amen. You have it? I mean, it could be a legal decision. You know, it could be some policy changes that might need to take place. Whatever it is, that thing, all right? How passionate are you about God moving in that situation? How passionate can you be about it? If you're passionate about it, I'm not talking about just with volume. I'm talking about in your heart, God, this is what you're going to do for me. The Bible says Hezekiah was sick unto death, and he turned his face to the wall and said, God, remember? And he made a demand on grace for his healing. And God added 15 more years. Now, can you see that thing come to pass? Because the moment you can see it, to the point that it stimulates your senses. Not all of them, just a few of them. with that crystal clarity, if you'll boldly open your mouth and declare it, angels will have to leave their post to start making some things happen. Amen. He has the grace you need, and he releases it just when you need it. Let me pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we have that vision. We see it clearly. We're passionate. It's something that we desire for you to do with a burning commitment. We see it done. Holy Spirit, on the canvas of our imagination, now make it clear. Make it clear. And now with faith we speak. In the name of Jesus, I call forth healing in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, we come against depression in Jesus' name. You must bow your knee now in Jesus' name. We intercede now for those who are under satanic attack. Devil, you must take your hands off of them now. The sin that tasted good to them loses its taste now in Jesus' name. The desire for depraved acts is removed now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. God, we call forth material blessings into the lives of believers, and we'll glorify you with them in Jesus' name. And the people of God shout it. Amen. Let's just praise the Lord like it's done. Amen, amen. Amen. Now, do you have those four simple things? Got those four simple things. Number one was what? Believable goal. I believe it because it's in the Word, and I believe it because I can see I have the capacity to set my will to say God will do it for me. Number two was what? Bullish or burning desire. I got to have it. Number three, beautiful vision. I'm going to look on the canvas of my imagination, allow the Holy Spirit to work to paint the end result of what I see, of what I'm believing for. I want to see it. I got to see myself walking in it. See, I see myself walking in here. Folk everywhere. Every Sunday. Every Sunday. And then with boldness, you speak to it. Amen. With boldness, you speak. I command you filled every chair. I command you. Amen. Amen. Yeah, I command it. I command my slothful members. Come. Angels, go disturb them. Disturb them. Put on their mind. Oh, yeah, we got plenty of members. We got members to fill up all these churches. There's a slothful, need to be disturbed. Don't let them get a good night's sleep. Amen, amen, amen. You go out there and speak to the regular cuss. I call you replaced. The spirit of stiffness, arthritis. In the name of Jesus, you have no right to afflict my body. Harmful diseases, when they touch my body, they die immediately. Now, hand, I command you to work as you were designed to work. Pain, I command you to go in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. We be faith people. That's how we operate. And it shall come to pass. All right, while you're standing, these are normally believers' meetings. Yeah, y'all already there. Y'all already there. Amen. Why you're standing these normally believers meetings, but we won't ever take it for granted, because we always know that the Holy Spirit is at work in our church, and he sends people to become a part of his kingdom. And so you're here today and you want to give your life to Christ. It is so very easy. What I have for you, I have some special information I want to give to you. I have a special place I want to send to you.